Welcome to On and Off the Pitch, back once more to look at the latest round of results in the Barclays Women's Championship, the WSL, and a few other things. Okay, so this weekend just passed, right? It's the biggest weekend or one of the biggest weekends in the women's football's calendar, right? And things didn't happen in terms of games weren't available. Most of the games in the Barclays Women's Championship were not available on that FA player. Why? Surely this would have been a huge opportunity, an absolutely you must grab it opportunity to platform these games, these teams in a way that would increase the awareness of fans around the world and people who might be interested or pique their interest in terms of watching football that wasn't the Premier League, as there wasn't any Premier League football. Anyway, I asked the question, was this a massive error on their part? And when I say there, I mean those in charge of the game. Or was it a clear indication from the FA and those who commentate on the game as to what they actually think about the league and the championship? I mean, it doesn't have the glitz and the glamour of the WSL, but there are teams in this league who are doing really well, who are vying to be part of the WSL. Surely it would have been in the interest of a big platform to show more than one game, two or three games as to what's at stake. And for teams who were trying to get away from the relegation zone, it would have been something. Would have been something. So in terms of the actual games, I was at Selhurst Park again, watching the Crystal Palace women, who were again hosting a team, trying to get all 3 points, and they were hosting Watford. And Watford, they've had a mixed bag of a season. And so Palace were, going to play football in front of a huge crowd of roughly approximately 6,000 people, 6,000 fans. And again, another reason why it would have been great to have shown the game on the FA player. The players, Crystal Palace players, would have wanted to show, especially those who were in the ground, why they were doing so well and why they were in touching distance of being promoted, right? So they played a pivotal role in making what's turned out to be a really interesting and exciting end to the season, and an interesting season throughout. Prior to this fixture, Watford, who was visiting, had only won three of the previous 17 games. Players, from my point of view, that I was interested in watching and looking out for Watford was Baptiste, who was on the bench, a former Palace player. There was no sign of Coral Jade Haynes, who was another former Palace player. And how different things have turned out for those two players and the club, Crystal Palace, that is, as both parties have moved in different directions and different level of fortune. In contrast to Watford, Crystal Palace had won 10 games up until that point, so they were, champions in their own right in a certain regard. And they had Blanchard on the pitch, which is always good to see. As to the game itself, right? So I would say, right, before this fixture had begun, so I would have predicted Crystal Palace to take all 3 points. I would have predicted that they would have scored more than three goals, considering the form for both teams. Watford haven't had a very good season. And something that I was made aware of, and I wasn't totally aware of before, was about how they when they train. They train in the evening, I believe. This is what I've been informed. And after working in whatever jobs they have as players, full time, to go and train maybe three or two times a week, a couple of hours, is quite demanding to then go and play up against teams who are training four times a week during the day. Very different demands on the body, the mind. So that can play some part in terms of where they are in terms of league position, but also the performances across the league has been impacted. So there's that. So in terms of what happened on the pitch, I would say that Crystal Palace, demonstrated from the very beginning what they were going to do. They would press all over the park and very assertive in their play. And an indication for Watford, who would have a measured approach in terms of their play, building up from the back, patterns of little triangles, moving the ball quite nicely. But they would, on occasion, do the odd crossfield pass. And from the very beginning of the game, this was one of the passes that which would be intercepted. I think more than once that would happen. And it would fall into the path of Blanchard, whose sublime touch, as always, was just a tad too much for the striker. I think Hughes was on route to goal, but the covering defender for Watford made sure nothing would come of that attack. It wouldn't take long for Palace to get on the score sheet, though, and Blanchard again on the ball. Her movement across the pitch is graceful, to say the least. Left-footed cross. Deflected into the path of Hughes, who would turn and shoot towards goal, and the ball would finally be turned in at the far post by Sharp for Palace. And I have to say, from where I was sat, it looked like Sharp was offside, when she put the ball in the back of the net. And I've, since seeing that and making comment of it on what we know as Twitter. People are saying, "Oh, you've got to look at the shadows on the pitch and where the player is and everything else." I have to say, in real time, it looked like it was offside. I actually turned to the person next to me and said, "Didn't that look offside to you?" I thought at the time the assistant referee had missed it, or I was quite strong. I said they bottled it. From the Watford point of view, the Watford players immediately looked at the assistant ref to say what was going on there. Why wasn't that flagged off? Why was that given? So both teams really benefiting from something that I still look. I could look at it again and think that looks offside, but they would have the advantage. Crystal Palace being the home team, and Watford, from that very moment, would find it difficult really to try and get back into the game. And this was only within the first 10 minutes. So, there were moments within the first half where there was a bit of head tennis between both teams, both players trying to see how far they could head the ball. And it would take, again, Blanchard's gentle touch, bringing the ball under control and literally easing it into the path of Hughes. And the layoff was so graceful. And Hughes's attempt on goal lacked the direction and the fizz, but also, you really wanted to see that end up in the back of the net from such a graceful pass from Blanchard. Blanchard was really good this game. But she would get on the score sheet. Not sure if it was, if they were going to give it to her. I'm not sure. I think they did in Google, definitely. But also on the score sheet was Percival, who would strike the ball from distance, a good solid strike. I'm not sure if the Watford keeper or the defenders could have done much about it. Maybe they could have closed the ball down a little bit quicker and sooner and narrowed the angle. Crystal Palace really in dominant control in huge parts of the game. From Watford point of view, I've said that they tried their best to move the ball well. There were sporadic moments where they would pose a potential threat towards the Crystal Palace penalty area. But the player who stood out for me from Watford was Lucia Leon. Really good on the ball, really comfortable, able to, swivel and move past the opposition quite easily from a standing position. And Crystal Palace recognized her ability to do that and would quickly shut down any kind of attempts to move towards goal. And that was generally the style of play for Crystal Palace throughout. That when there was an attack, they would try to cut it out really, really quickly. Palace would press well all over the pitch, intercepting balls, especially balls that were played up to Watford's front players. Interceptions there from Everett and Nolan, stepping in front. Pushing Watford back was very much evident throughout the game, throughout the 90 minutes plus. And there's always this period when teams that I've noticed that are at the bottom of the league, the back pass to the goalkeeper and playing it across the line, it's just inviting pressure. No need to do that. No need. No need. I know you've got to keep possession, but you don't have. Didn't have the pace to get out of the high press. And when they did find patterns of play, it would quickly get back into the Palace control. Find its way to a Palace player who looked comfortable on the ball going forward. And I mentioned, prior to this game, I would have expected more than 3 goals. I was surprised that the game only ended with 3 goals. From a Palace point of view, they might be disappointed that they didn't get more than three, but will be extremely happy with a clean sheet. From a Watford point of view, they will be happy that they didn't do enough in terms of their going forward. They were sporadic, as I've said, in terms of their attempts to move into dangerous positions, and too many times their passes were intercepted. Their midfield struggled in the first 45 minutes to get a real handle on what they required to do in stopping the threat going forward, and passes going out of play, passes being intercepted. It was something to know. And with Crystal Palace, 2-0 up after 20 minutes, you could hear, when a game is really comfortable, is when you could hear the crowd chattering away, children singing, adults talking to one another. They weren't really, I mean, they were watching the game, but the crowd weren't worried about what was going to happen to Palace. They weren't concerned about what, there were a few oohs and ahs occasionally, but generally, I would say that Crystal Palace had this in the bag, had this in the bag. So from a first half performance and second half performance, Crystal Palace did a really good, professional, proficient job in terms of obtaining all 3 points and keeping Watford at bay. Watford had, I think, one solitary shot on target just before half time from Lyon and from distance. And if I were to describe this game, right, I had to think about how would I describe this game. If you, I don't know if you have a cat. I don't have a cat. Sometimes I look out my window and I might see my neighbor's cat, and it has one of those garden mice, and the cat is there, and it's pounced on the mouse or mice as it may be, and then let it go, and the little creatures try, thinks it's getting away, and then the cat pounces it again. And then lets it go. And then it thinks it's getting away. And then the cat pounces again. And then lets it go. Pretty much that was the game. No matter how much Watford, and sorry for the kind of comparison there, Watford fans, no matter how much Watford tried to impose themselves upon this game and develop a pattern of play and a level of threat which would be considered a concern. From the Palace point of view, Palace really did have this under control throughout. It was a level of determination, which was key, I think, for Crystal Palace. They know what they need to do going forward, and they knew what they needed to do before kickoff. Players, I've mentioned Lyon for Watford, Potter demonstrated her tenacity in the game, ensuring that that possible threats going forward were thwarted very, very quickly, and moving the ball forward to kind of build another attack. This was a complete performance, I think, from Crystal Palace, and it demonstrated why you could strongly consider them to be one of the teams that could go. I'm not saying they are, because there's so many variables right now. There's so many variables right now. Another player who, I mean, whenever I watch Crystal Palace and I see Annabelle Blanchard play, I just think she just plays it with such ease. It's just so graceful. Always seems to pick the right pass. Hardworking, tracks back, gets involved and supports. I mean, they all do, all Crystal, but she just has something about her that you think she's a special player. She has the hallmarks of a special player. A good afternoon overall for Crystal Palace. And what was sat watching the game, what was interesting, knowing that so many of the games were not being shown on the FA Player, keeping up with social, seeing the goals going in elsewhere. Oh my days. What I mean, it was just comical, absolutely comical. This was why the weekend was so good. This was why it was a shame, really, that so many of the games were not available on the FA Player, because it would have been absolutely comical to have bounced around to different games to watch what was happening in real time. But The social media platform that we once called Twitter did its job, and we are grateful for that. The crowd attendance, I could give you the specific number, but I'm going to round it up. 6,000. 6,000 fans watching. I'm not doing specific numbers. Let's round it up. Let's big up the Women's Football Weekend in terms of fan attendance. And that's that. It's going to be a big old slog for the remaining games for Watford going forward. And for Crystal Palace, I'm not saying anything, but I know you're happy. I know you're happy. We're going to go over the results for the rest of the Women's Championships just after this.
Roll up, roll up.
So the results in the Women's Championship starting, we're looking at Blackburn Rovers, who were playing host to one of the teams in the top four at the time, Southampton, who really, really needed to make sure that they stayed in line with what was happening above them. Blackburn Rovers would score two goals in the first half and hold on to the lead. Southampton would get one back in the second half from Pike, two goals for Hornby in the first half, and they would take all 3 points. A body blow to Southampton at this point of the league. Blackburn, locking people out, keeping people at bay, absolutely fantastic for them. So there is that. On to Birmingham City, who are at home against another team within the relegation zone. I don't even like saying relegation, but in that bottom part, you know what I'm talking about. Two goals. Birmingham, first half, second half of Devlin Walker. They are happy with that. That 3 points really keeps them in contention with what's happening in the next few weeks. Lewis needs the points, and I'm sure they played well. They need the points, but it's not going that well for them. Elsewhere, Sheffield United put in the hurt on former WSL team Reading. Sheffield United 5, Reading 1. Stapleton own goal and Bourne Goodwin with 2, Rayner with 1, and Reading with Perry's singular solitary strike in the second half. Sheffield United put in the smackdown on Reading. Ouch. It's got to hurt. We've already mentioned Crystal Palace at home with their 3 goals to Watford. Raining goals in the Championship, raining goals. Sunderland, the team that people have totally ignored, are still there and thereabout. They didn't get much luck in their last game away from home, but boy, oh boy, are they making people pay when they go to their ground. 5-3. Sunderland with 5. Durham, mighty Durham, the once mighty Durham, 3. Scar, McAteer with 2. Dia and Watson putting the hurt on Durham. This was a ding-dong game. And what was interesting, you could not have known the score of this game if you were just checking Google, because they didn't update the scores. It was only through the platform formerly known as Twitter that we were able to keep up to date with what was happening with Sunderland. Sunderland's social media team must have been so busy that afternoon. They must have been giggling the whole time as well, because wow, what a game. But an absolutely fantastic feast of goals there. Sunderland fans must be jubilant with not only the performance but the goals, but also that they're still sitting on top of the pile. Good for them. And the one and only, and this is the thing, the fixture that I just thought, well, I'm closing my eyes. I'm thinking, it did happen. Charlton would have predicted all 3 points for them, playing host to London City Lionesses. I'm not even lying. I thought Charlton, they're going to do a number here. Wow. They would score in the 5th minute, and then that scoreline would stay the same until the 89th minute. London City Lionesses would get an equaliser. Lindstrom, if you haven't seen the header, check it out. Whoa. And then 90 plus 5 minutes, Bo Lorca. Wow, oh wow, oh wow. I've got to be honest with you, I didn't have any faith. I'm saying it out loud that London City Lionesses would get 3 points in this fixture. Charlton, I thought they were going to kind of, do what they do, get, but it, for whatever reason, you get into the top, the tension, the nervous energy is not going your way. Ouch, London City Lionesses. I mean, Remy Allen doing a number there. She turned things around. Where this team would have been if she'd have arrived sooner, who knows? They might have had a very, very different season. Interesting. So interesting. So In terms of the goals, bonanza goals, great games, great goals. Couldn't see it in real time. That is the biggest shame of it all. What did the FA player and those in control miss? Missed a huge trick. Huge, huge trick. So in terms of the table, Sunderland, top of the pile, 37 points, just behind them in second place, 36 points. Crystal Palace with one game in hand, Birmingham with one game in hand, 33 points. Southampton in fourth, 19 games played, 33 points. Charlton, 18 games, 33 points. Sheffield United behind them with 26 in seventh place. What? Blackburn, 26. And then London City Lionesses with 22 points. See, 3 points makes a big, big difference. They've leapfrogged Durham on 20 points. Reading in 10th place with 18 points. Lewis with 16 points. And right at the bottom of the pile, Watford bench pressing everyone in the league with 12 points. They're going to need more than protein powder to get out of the position they're in. They've got, I mean, they could do it. They could. But will they? It's tense at the bottom and it's super tense. No. It's super tense. I think the only teams that aren't concerned are Sheffield United and Blackburn. Those are the only two teams, sixth and seventh. Everyone else is kind of like biting nails, thinking, can we, will we, won't we? Whew, tough. It's tough. But it's exciting. Anyway, enough of that. Some great goals. When you get a chance to look at FA player, check out the goals. This was the weekend for goals. Phenomenal goals, phenomenal effort from the teams that won. It's going to be something going forward. Fireworks is what I'm predicting for the next few games as they move towards the end of the season. Anyway, enough of the championship for now. We're going to go and gently look at the results over the Women's Super League.
How's your day going?
Back again, the Women's Super League. Wow, the results. Interesting. We're starting on Saturday's fixture, the Manchester Derby. Manchester City putting the hurt on the red side of Manchester. 3-1. Jess Park doing a do. Shaw doing her thing. People writing columns. You need to give respect to Shaw, please. Manchester United would get on the score sheet from an own goal. From a Manchester City player, we won't name that. No one wants to be credited with an own goal, but Manchester City doing what they need to do to put the pressure on Chelsea. And we'll talk about the league and what that means overall. But boy, oh boy, the city, Manchester City is the are the kings and queens of the city. Unlucky, Manchester United, unlucky. Everton nil, Liverpool nil, and that game I think was televised. Bristol City played host to Tottenham, only one goal in it. England in 2 minutes, and surprisingly, only one goal in that. It's always a bit tense when you're only leading by one goal, but Tottenham do the job away from home. Leicester City at home, 2 goals for them, but they couldn't keep out three. Haley Robinson and Telland for Brighton. Brighton really happy with that, doing well. Since changing managers, it looks like. So they're doing all right. They seem to be justified in what's happening there. West Ham. Have they had a good season? Is it okay to say an okay season? I don't know. They played host to Chelsea on the road. Chelsea paying no respect to West Ham by winning by 2-0. Beaver Jones, 2 minutes, and Erin Cuthbert, 2 minutes from time. Cuthbert, I've always like. I mean, some people say, "Do you have favourite players?" I have favourite players, but the players that I would catch my eye, I think, really like their style, I really like their approach and their tenacity. Cuthbert has always been one of those players that I've looked at and thought, "Yeah, what a player! What, yeah, good, respect." Other fixture, Aston Villa, again, mixed bag season. Better, is it better than the early part? Who knows? They were at home. Scoring one goal in the first half, Salmon for them. And Arsenal, 1-2-3, Palova, Ruben Moy, and Blackstenius in the second half. They score three. They take all 3 points to make it interesting in the league. In terms of the table, it's interesting at the top. Again, Shaw's goals, Park's goals, making it interesting. Chelsea and Man City, same games played, same games won, drawn, lost. Points the same, goal difference plus two in Chelsea's favour. But Khadija Shaw is on fire. You need to pay her some respect to her peeps. Arsenal in third place, 37 points. Liverpool in fourth, they jump up with that point. Wow. With 29 points. Manchester United in fifth, that's got to hurt, 28 points. Just behind them, Tottenham in 25, Aston Villa in seventh, 19. Brighton with that win takes them above Leicester on 17 points, Leicester on 16, Everton on 15 points, West Ham 12 points, and Bristol bench pressing the whole of the WSL. They're going to need more than protein powder to get out of this jam. It could be that they are coming to the warm and cuddly arms of the Barclays Women's Championship. Come back, Bristol. Come back. So yeah, great goals, great games, fantastic atmosphere this weekend. It isn't all about the WSL. It has the glitz and the glamour. It has everything that's needed. But so does the championship. You just need to give it a little bit of love, a little bit of attention, and then you'll see. You'll see. Before we run away from this rapid train of football, I'm sure I heard, maybe I'm wrong. I'm sure if someone's on the radio, Emma Hayes was saying that Chelsea aren't getting enough respect. Chelsea women, that is, not the men's, just to be clear, not the Chelsea men aren't getting any respect right now, but I mean the women's. And, I don't know if that's right. I mean, if Emma Hayes is saying that Chelsea women aren't getting enough respect, then what about the teams in the, I mean, they should talk to the championship head coaches and managers. I mean, they're getting absolutely none, especially from the FA player. But I think maybe if that is the case, and Emma Hayes believes that Chelsea women aren't getting enough respect, maybe that's the case. I'm going to give Emma Hayes some respect. I'm going to say that I would like to see Emma Hayes manage England men. Now, I don't pay any attention to what's happening to the England men's team, but considering there's talk or link or rumor or chit chat about Gareth Southgate, being possibly on the list of possible Manchester United managers, the FA couldn't do anything wrong if they were to actually offer Emma Hayes the job and say, look, don't go to America, stay here. We'll match the salary, be in control, be in charge of the men's team. And people say, well, you can't have a woman doing that. I'm saying, why not? You have men managing women's teams. What's the problem? Especially the conversation about manager and player relationships is an issue in the women's game. So I doubt very much that will be an issue in the men's game if there was Emma Hayes managing England. And I think she'll do a very good job. She's more successful. She's definitely won more trophies than Gareth Southgate. So there's that. She has that in a bag. She's used to managing world-class players, players from all around the world. So there's that. Understands what the league is about. Understands probably quite well what's required of the national team manager. I think she would be an absolutely fantastic candidate to go forward and make her case in terms of being a manager. What do you think? I think it's only right that we can consider Emma Hayes for probably one of the biggest jobs in the English game. Anyway, in terms of not getting enough respect, I'm giving Emma Hayes plenty of respect. Respect. That's it for this week. So until next time, peeps, when there's more football to talk about, laters.